This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm John Idstey. On paper, at least, many of the tax cuts passed during President Bush's first term are temporary. For instance, tax cuts on income from investments are set to expire in 2008. But congressional Republicans have been intent on extending them for two more years, at least. Proponents say these tax cuts helped revive the economy. Critics say that's far from clear. NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
Elizabeth Letzler has more money than most people.
I have a substantial portfolio of securities and investable assets that I inherited.
Those investments provide hefty dividends on a regular basis. Before the Bush tax cuts, nearly four out of every $10 Letzler collected in dividends went to the IRS. But Congress has reduced the top rate for most investment income to just 15%.
And the difference in tax payable is a little over $100,000 per year.
Critics say taxing investment income at lower rates than wages shifts the tax burden in the wrong direction, from the wealthy to working people. Len Berman is director of the Tax Policy Center in Washington.
Over half of capital gains are earned by people in the top one-tenth of 1%. That is the richest one in 1,000 Americans.
Berman says it's true that less affluent Americans do own stocks and bonds, often in mutual funds or IRAs. But he says extending the current investment tax breaks would save just $58 for the average person earning between $50,000 and $75,000 a year. Still, lawmakers who've championed lower taxes, like Republican Senator John Kyle of Arizona, say that misses the point.
When investors get to keep more of their reward, they're encouraged to invest more. And with more investment, businesses have an easier time attracting the capital they need to expand, create new goods and services, and create new jobs.
But most economists, even those who support lower taxes on investment, are a lot more cautious about the effects. Kevin Hassett of the American Enterprise Institute says it's pretty clear that lower taxes on dividends cause companies to pay out more of their earnings in dividends. That's good, he says, but it's not clear that it actually stimulates more investment.
Part of the reason why the jury's out is that it happened fairly recently, and we don't have enough data yet to judge whether the dividend tax made the investment go up.
Hassett says there's actually a broad consensus among economists that it would be a good idea to tax consumption, the buying of things, rather than the income from work or investment. Cutting tax rates on investment income is a step in that direction, he says, but just a small one. Douglas Holtz Aiken, former director of the Congressional Budget Office, also favored the investment tax cuts when enacted, but he too is reserving judgment on their effects.
I think it would be difficult to make a scientific case about the impact of these tax cuts. We know that there are a variety of channels. The first thing is they put more money in people's pockets. They may go out and spend it. That'll increase demands for firms' products. And when we were in a recession, that was a beneficial thing.
Holtz Aiken believes harmonizing rates for capital gains and dividends has reduced the temptation for corporations to game the system.
The great loss in America is that we raise generation after generation of bright young people to go into business whose sole purpose is to turn one kind of capital income into another for tax purposes.
He says this should free people to do something more productive. But other economists, including Len Berman, question even this contention. Berman says the gap between taxes on wages and investment income actually spawns more wasteful tax shelters designed to disguise wage income as capital gains. He also doubts the lower rates generate more savings.
Unfortunately, the economic evidence is that people are as likely to save less as more when the tax rate on savings goes down. The reason is that it actually makes it easier for them to achieve particular goals, like saving up enough to buy a house or to put a kid through college.
And then you have the question of the federal budget deficit. Some politicians argue that making investment tax cuts permanent would be cost-free because lower rates would generate more investment income to tax. That argument has not prevailed at the Congressional Budget Office, which puts the cost of extending the cuts for a decade at nearly $200 billion. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.